Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 9, Detachment from All That Is Material. Three verses today, 24 through 26. We'll chant the first one responsibly. Evam das guru bhya, from the spiritual masters. Ete bhya, from these. Esha, this, may, by me. Shikshita, learned. Mati, knowledge, swa-atma, from one's own body, upashikshitam, learned, buddhim, knowledge, shrinu, please hear, me, from me, varataha, as I am speaking, prabho, O King.
Evam guru jayate bhya. Esha me shikshita mati, swatmo pashikshitam buddhim, krinu me vadata prabho, evam guru jayate bhya. Esha me shikshita mati, swatmo pashikshitam buddhim, shrinu me vadata prabho, evam guru bhya ete bhya. Esha me shikshita mati, swatma pashikshitam buddhim, shrinu me vadata prabho.
Evam guru jayate bhya,
esha me shikshita mati, swatmoka shikshitam buddhin, shrinu me vadata prabho, evam guru bhyayate bhya, esha me shikshita mati, swatmoka shikshitam buddhin, shrinu me vadata prabho, evam guru jayate bhya, esha me shikshita mati, swatma pashikshitam buddhim, shrinu me vadata prabho.
Ladies.
Evam guru jayate bhya, esha me shikshita mati, swatma pashikshitam buddhim, shrinu me vadata prabho, evam guru jayate bhya, esha me shikshita mati, swatma pashikshitam buddhim, shrinu me vadata prabho.
Translation. O King, from all these spiritual masters, I have acquired great wisdom. Now please listen as I explain what I learned from my own body. Text 25, we can chant together.
Deho guru mama virakti viveka hetur bibratsma sattva nidhanam satatati bhartam
Tatyanyanena vimishami kitatakati Bharatya mitya vasito vicharanya sangha. The material body is also my spiritual master because it teaches me detachment. Being subject to creation and destruction, it always comes to a painful end. Thus, although using my body to acquire knowledge, I always remember that it will ultimately be consumed by others. And remaining detached, I move about this world.
Om jnana timirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurin miditamena tasmai shri gurave namaha.
So I'll read and make some comments as I go along. There's also another verse after this one. The words yata tatapi are significant in this verse. So yata means even though, and tatapi means nevertheless. So this next sentence has these two parts. Although, or even though, although the body bestows great benefit by enabling one to learn about this world, nevertheless, which is not written here but understood, nevertheless, one should always remember its unhappy, inevitable future. So the sage is appreciating that he can use the body to get knowledge, but we have to remember other things about it as well, including the following. If cremated, the body is burned to ashes by fire. So this is its unhappy, inevitable future of this nice body who's giving us wisdom. It's going to end up in one of these places. Ashes. If cremated, the body is burned to ashes by fire. If lost in a lonely place, it is consumed by jackals and vultures. And if buried in a luxurious coffin, it decomposes and is consumed by insignificant insects and worms. This is the kind of thing where sometimes Prabhupada would say, this is Srimad Bhagavatam, or this is philosophy. There are those who just want to have listened to the 10th canto of Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, but the Bhagavatam is full of this kind of thing also, getting a straight look at the material world. So here we're hearing about this wonderful body. It gives us knowledge. It gives us knowledge because it has knowledge acquiring senses. So we learn about the world through these different senses as they interact with the world. So we can appreciate that. We can be thankful to the body for that. But we also have to remember that the body is going to give us misery because it's going to die at the end. And it's one of the three ways. Few places in the Bhagavatam and Prabhupada's purports, these come up. How the body is going to end up as, what is stool, ashes, and what's the third one? Let's see. In a lonely place, insects. So it's end up in the body of an insect. So if cremated, the body is burned to ashes by fire. Now these things also we're supposed to, now death of course is a time with that smashana vairagya, the vairagya of the crematorium. You go to someone's cremation at the crematorium and it's supposed to sober you up. Unfortunately, of course, the purport of that saying is that people forget it as soon as they leave. It doesn't stick. But it's meant to actually, all the sanskars. This is one of the sanskars, the cremation or at least the final rites of the body. There's a whole ceremony that goes on, just like all the sanskars, there's a ceremony involved. It's meant to make an impression. It's like a wedding, for example. There's so many things that go on to make a real strong impression. This is really a serious thing. These are serious vows, these marriage vows. So death is, of course, a serious thing. It's serious for those who are observing it. As, of course, the body, there are certain reasons why it's cremated. I've never experienced an actual cremation, like on the bank of the Ganges or the Yamuna myself. I've seen at the funeral parlor, they put him into this vault-like thing and push the button and the flames come. It's finished. But I imagine it's quite a shocking thing to see the body on top of a pile or pile of wood start burning. It probably kind of makes you feel a little queasy in the stomach. The devotees that conduct these in Vrindavan, I don't know what they do. Maybe they say, you know, if you don't think you can handle it, maybe you should walk away at this point. But I remember I saw one cremation at the funeral home downtown for one devotee, and they had the relative, one of the relatives actually pushed the button to start the fire to help. It was supposed to be, the idea is that, I don't know who, you know, maybe some devotee asked him to do that, but the idea is to help detach from it, detach from this person, break the connection with this body, which you really don't have an eternal connection with it, this body that's being burned, so to help you detach, perform this particular ritualistic act. So this is one of the ways this body is destroyed, is burned by fire. If lost in a lonely place, it is consumed by jackals and vultures. Another pleasant thought. The body falls down somewhere in the wilderness and the animals come and eat it. Vultures. We see the vultures, of course, eating bodies all the time. They're doing a great service, actually, the vultures. And I've always had in my mind this idea that the eagle, even in America, of course, the eagle is our symbol, so it's meant to be like this heroic animal, this great eagle. We think of vultures as not so majestic, not as majestic as the eagles. But actually, the vultures do a nice service. We had a number when someone ran over, hit a skunk on the road in the back there, back of the farm, and the skunk was sitting there in the middle of the road and stinking, and I was thinking, I wonder if the vultures take care of these guys too. So actually the vulture did. It had done it too. There was just a skin there that was pushed off to the side and all the smaller parts were gone and it didn't even smell. I think, wow, these vultures, they really got it together. They even clean up the smelly skunks on the road. So they do that with our bodies, see if some body is left there. They have to eat it. And the jackal, the coyote is called the American jackal. So that's the idea, the scrawny, wily coyote. But they eat about abominable things. There's that song by Narottam Das Thakur, Akarma Kama Jana Kama Kevala Vishara Bhamba Amrita Bhaya Yiva Kai. He says, Akarma Kama and Jana Kama, they're actually pots of poison. But thinking them, we think they're like nectar, and we drink them, and you know, we're attracted to karma kanda and jnana kanda. But the result is, nāyāni kadāpīyare kadāriya bhakṣana kāri. Then you have to take so many births, drinking that what you think is nectar, it's actually poison, then you have to take further births. And one of the characteristics of those births is that you have to eat abominable things. Kadāriya bhakṣana kāri. We see it graphically in Vrindavan with the hogs in the open sewer, got their noses in there, drinking away, enjoying. So there's also the vultures and jackals eating a dead body. It's so ghastly. To see it, for us, we think, ah, it's horrible. But we can have a body like that. Living entity can be in a body like that. That's one of the horrible conditions of material existence, that you're forced to eat the most horrible things. So the next thing I also heard is described is about eating. It decomposes, so it's put in a coffin. Of course, it's a big thing, the coffin industry, isn't it? When I read this, I googled coffins, see where I could buy them. They actually sell them in Walmart, Amazon.com. You can order, you know, if you want. Fun of sleeping in it, and some twisted people like to sleep in coffins. The prices there, they're not so expensive in Walmart with discount brand. They go between like $1,500 to about $4,000 or $5,000. Spend $5,000 on a box to put into the ground. Of course, why do people do it? Because of the they have to have a good coffin for their loved one, for other people to see. Ooh, nice coffin. Put a smile on the guy's face and trying to cover up the reality of what death is. As soon as when that goes into the ground, There's no one way to preserve the body. Of course, the Vedic way for a sadhu is you put salt all around it. Prabhupada's body, you put salt all around. Out of respect for the last somewhat longer. But in the ground, eventually, the bugs, there's always bugs in the coffin, there's always bugs in the body when it's put into the ground. So it's going to be consumed. So those bugs, that's another birth you can take. You can be a bug in somebody's coffin and have to eat the body. So these are, this is a stark reality of the material world. This beautiful body that we're pampering so much. This is its destination. And it's different bodies that we can get involved in that death process. So going on here, in the purport. Thus it is described, and the body is described as parakim, ultimately to be consumed by others. That's the destination of this body. Something, some entity is going to eat it eventually. One should, however, carefully maintain, so a little change of mood here. One should, however, carefully maintain bodily health to execute Krishna consciousness. Because you might think, well, what's the point? Some living entity is going to eat this body anyway, so why worry about taking care of it? So we should carefully maintain bodily health to execute Krishna consciousness, but without undue affection or attachment. By studying the body's birth and death, one can acquire virakti viveka. So virakti means detachment and viveka means intelligence or discrimination. One can acquire virakti viveka, the intelligence to detach oneself from useless things. The word avasita indicates conviction. One should be convinced of all the truths of Krishna consciousness. So these are part of the truths of Krishna consciousness, what this material world is all about. Text 26, we can chant together. Jayatma jata pashubhritya trihapta vargam Pushnatiyat priyachikishayavitambam Swante sukrityam avarudha dhana swadeha Shrishtvasya bijam avasidati vrikshadharanaha. A man attached to the body accumulates money with great struggle to expand and protect the position of his wife, children, property, domestic animals, servants, homes, relatives, friends, and so on. So the man sounds like a, such a charitable, nice person. He's expanding all, giving all his energy with great struggle to expand and protect all of these, wife, children, property, animals, all these things. Then the next line says, he does all this for the gratification of his own body. What is that? Yet the body, priya chikirshaya, with a desire to please. Krishnati, he nourishes all of them, but his ultimate goal is to please his own body. As a tree before dying produces the seed of a future tree, the dying body manifests the seed of one's next material body in the form of one's accumulated karma, thus assuring the continuation of material existence. The material body sinks down and dies. Purport. One might argue, now this is a little kind of a curious argument. You might think it's facetious, but apparently it's meant to be a serious argument. Among all the gurus mentioned thus far, someone is arguing, the material body is certainly the best, since it awards the detachment and fine intelligence that enable one to engage in the devotional service of the Lord. Thus we should serve the body, although it is temporary, with great attachment, or risk the offense of ungratefulness. We wouldn't be about to be ungrateful to our bodies. It seems so strange to me. Then I was thinking, just like today we had all these trees. So in Vedic culture, you offer your respects, you're grateful to all kinds of living entities. Devarshi, Bhutatam, Nam, Patrinam. We're indebted to all kinds of living entities in this world. And we're supposed to be respectful to them. Even though, of course, from their point of view, I often think of this in relationship to the cow, for example. We honor the cow, we worship the cow, and I think, well, that's just some jiva's got bad karma, ended up in the body of a cow. So Who exactly are we worshiping here? It seems like it's more the emotion or the feeling or the character that we're developing within ourselves to appreciate. Because the cow is not exactly voluntarily serving human beings, it's just in that body. But still the idea is there, and you have to do it, you're supposed to do it. So certainly some living entity is in the body of a tree, and maybe it's a pious tree, but still it's a tree. But still, according to Vedic culture, you're supposed to respect and honor that living entity, or that whatever. I don't know if even the living entity we're honoring. Maybe it's the material body that we're honoring. Never been quite clear about what's going on there. So in any case, so this is not so far out there, the idea that you should, you don't want to offend your body with ungratefulness because it's giving you so much. Is the argument being made here. So then the person goes on, how can detachment from the body be recommended when the body is endowed with so many wonderful qualities? But the answer is given in this verse. So the idea is, this was mentioned in the previous verse also, the body gives knowledge, so that's one reason why we should be grateful to the body. So the answer is given in this verse. The body does not award detachment, so that's one of the things that this person is seeing, that the body is a guru because it awards detachment. So that's a good thing, it's my guru. The body does not award detachment and knowledge in the manner of some benevolent teacher. So it's teaching, but not a benevolent teacher. Rather, it causes so much pain and misery that any common sense person cannot help being convinced of the uselessness of material life. So the teacher is, you know, whipping you over and over and over again, so you learn what pain is. Yeah, you learn your lesson, but you might not like the way it's being given, the lessons being given. So that's one point, that the body gives it, but not in a very pleasant way. And the psalmist says that the body doesn't necessarily have good intention. Just as a tree, so then this is the second thing. Second argument against this. Just as a tree produces the seeds of the next tree and then dies, the body's lusty desires induce the conditioned soul to create a further chain of karma. So that's another problem with your wonderful guru body, is that it is full of lusty desires because it's full of senses, and the senses want sense objects for gratification. So the body wants lusty desires, and what's the result of those lusty desires? Then you commit lusty acts, you commit karmic acts, and the result of that is creates a further chain of karma. This Rishabdev is one of Rishabdev's teachings. We should think that by fruited activities we get karma. What's the result of karma? We get another material body. And what's that material body? It's just the abode of suffering. So the idea that the body is full of lusty desires and the chain of karma is there. This phrase is nice, chain of karma, because that's what karma is. Just like when you have a chain, it's got so many links. So if you pull on the first link, then the one at the end, every one of them along the way moves. Even the one at the very end is going to move. So once the chain of karma starts, then so many things unfold one after the other, and they're going to come. The prarabdham, palimpatham, so on, the different stages of karma. So by one act, you unleash this nuclear explosion, like a chain reaction, nuclear bomb. What's happening is just some little subatomic particles. Something starts on the subatomic plane, and then you have an explosion that can kill hundreds and thousands of people. So karma unfolds with so much misery as a result of the lusty desires of the body. So this is another argument of why the body is not a benevolent teacher. So finally, this is a nicely composed sentence I like. The body, having paved the way for unlimited suffering in material existence, drops dead. So ultimately it drops dead on you. This wonderful body that you're relying on in so many ways, it drops dead. Right before your eyes. And you struggle against it like anything. People don't want to die, they'll do anything to live a little longer.
But it's futile. Eventually it's going to leave you. So that's how it's unreliable in that sense too. It's an unreliable teacher because your teacher's going to die. Not going to be able to keep teaching you anymore. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Deha indicates both the gross body and the subtle mental body. Those who do not clearly understand the difference between body and soul falsely think that body and soul are identical, and that one can find perfect happiness in bodily sense gratification. Is that true? People will think they can find perfect happiness. They probably wouldn't admit it. What do you think, Divyana? You meet lots of people out there. Are they thinking they're going to get perfect happiness at the Universal Studios or wherever they're going? Yeah. They need that sticker that they see. Am I having fun yet? Which is so appropriate. You go in some place to have fun and then, well, where's the fun? Is this it? Is this the fun? Mom and Dad, is this the fun? You said we were going to have fun. Am I having fun yet? So that's the material life. So it's disappointment, actually. For a final last sentence here, but those who foolishly accept the temporary body as all important cannot be compared with self-realized souls who intelligently understand the superiority of the eternal soul. So this is what all this talk about the body is leading to. The eternal soul is important. Superiority. And of course, because the spirit soul is superior, its enjoyment is also superior. And in the case of the body, really, there's no enjoyment when you get right down to it. Well, there's so much misery involved that whatever enjoyment you get is not worth the effort. So focus on the soul and take care of the body as much as needed to serve Krishna. That's what this is about. Well, some discussion. Should I read the translations again? These two verses. Material body is also my spiritual master because it teaches me detachment. Being subject to creation and destruction, it always comes to a painful end. Thus, although using my body to acquire knowledge, I always remember that it will ultimately be consumed by others. And remaining detached, I move about this world. The man attached to the body accumulates money with great struggle to expand and protect the position of his wife, children, property, domestic animals, servants, homes, relatives, friends, and so on. He does all this for the gratification of his own body. As a tree before dying produces the seed of a future tree, the dying body manifests the seed of one's next material body in the form of one's accumulated karma, thus assuring the continuation of material existence. The material body sinks down and dies. Well, what can you say? Huh? All right, we'll stop here. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.